8, question and answer 24. How are these articles divided? Into three parts: God the Father and our creation, God the Son and our deliverance, and God the Holy Spirit and our sanctification. Since there is only one divine being, why do you speak of three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Because that is how God has revealed himself in his word. These three distinct persons are one true eternal God. It's the confessions. Let's turn now to God's holy word, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Page 1234 in most of the pew Bibles. We'll focus on verse 14. Verses 11 to 13 have some particularly helpful context, but we will read from the beginning of the chapter. 2 Corinthians 13, beginning at verse 1. This is the third time I am coming to you. Every charge must be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. I warned those who sinned before and all the others, and I warn them now while absent, as I did when present on my second visit, that if I come again, I will not spare them. Since you seek proof that Christ is speaking in me, he is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. For he was crucified in weakness, but lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but in dealing with you, we will live with him by the power of God. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. I hope you will find out that we have not failed the test, but we pray to God that you may do no wrong, not that we may appear to have met the test, but that you may do what is right, though we may seem to have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. Your restoration is what we pray for. For this reason I write these things while I am away from you, that when I come I may not have to be severe in my use of the authority that the Lord has given me for building up and not for tearing down. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, question answer 25 so shows us the particular work of the triune persons. And we see different description words tied to each of the three persons of the Trinity in our main verse for this evening. And so even our very outline is the three persons of the Trinity. But how can that be? God is one. We even sang that together this evening. That's how Psalm 99b ends, each verse. The Holy One is He. We sing about God being one. We know God is one. How can we speak about God being three, even to the degree that the three persons of the Trinity make up the three points of our outline? There we have it, numbers 1, 2, 3. How can we even do that? How can we even think about doing that? Well, certainly God is one. Certainly it is right to think about and sing about the reality that God is one. But at the same time, Scripture has revealed to us that this one God is three persons. And in the three persons, there are even particular works ascribed to, particular attributes ascribed to the three persons. And so even, let's take creation as an example. We know that the triune God was present at creation. Genesis 1 speaks about the Spirit who hovered over the waters. John chapter 1 speaks about the Word who was God, who is Jesus Christ, who was present and involved in creation. But at the same time, God the Father is emphasized as creator over and over again. And so we talk about God as the creator in a particular way, and that's even how our question answer 24 speaks of him. When we divide up even the Apostles' Creed from ancient times in this way, God the Father and our creation. And so it is that in our very text this evening, there are particular words, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Particular words, particularly appropriate to each person of the Trinity. And so we walk through our passage in such a way this evening, considering that this is a blessing, a triune blessing with which God sends out his people. God is one, but God has clearly revealed himself, and much of the Belgian Confession is dedicated to this, Articles 8 and 9, lengthy articles about how we speak this way because this is how God has revealed himself in Scripture. And this is one of the verses referenced there in Belgian Confession, Article 9. God has revealed himself in this way. And so, because of that, even though we know God is triune, not threefold, but triune, it's appropriate even to have this as the three points of our outline, following simply the verse before us. So the triune God sends out his people with a divine blessing. And we consider first, Jesus Christ and the grace from him. Now here's another thing. We come to our first point and we're like, wait a second, Jesus Christ is the first point. What's going on? Isn't it God the Father and then Jesus the Son and then the Holy Spirit? You know, isn't that the first person of the Trinity, the second person, and then the third person? Well, it is true that normally we speak in this way. Normally we say, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. This is how we usually speak. It's true that 2 Corinthians speaks in this way in chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. We see that usual order, that common order. It's true that this is how the Trinity is listed in Matthew 28 and how we do baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in that order. It's true that we can speak about the Son proceeding from the Father, and there's that kind of progression. The Father sends the Son sends the Spirit, and this is especially clear in the Gospel of John, especially chapters 14 to 15. All this is true. And so we usually say Father, Son, Spirit, but here we have a different order. And there is another place in the New Testament, 1 Peter, verse 1. 1 Peter, verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 1 and verse 2 speaks about the introduction and then the blessing there to begin 1 Peter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And now here, what's the order now in verse 2? According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. So there the order is different as well. What does this teach us? It's appropriate to speak about Father, Son, and Spirit and to have this as the usual order, following the Gospel of John, following the baptism order in Matthew 28, following so many things. This is appropriate. But at the same time, even seeing a couple of places in the New Testament where the triune God is listed in a single verse as three distinct persons, and that list is not the usual order, even this is helpful for us, isn't it? To step back and say, co-equal, co-eternal, to use the language of the Athanasian Creed. Even having that different order in a couple of places is helpful for us to say, wait a second, it's not like God is numero uno and then the Holy Spirit is left in the dust. No. Co-eternal, co-equal, three in one. And so we have a different order before us in our text, and we have this order for our outline. And what do we have from Jesus Christ? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly we need the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn back with me just a couple pages, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you would turn back just a couple of pages. Verses 16 and 17. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. Grace was needed. We stood in that category, but we regard him thus no longer. And this is particularly true, right, for a first generation Christian. That's what the letter would be written to. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Grace was needed. Grace, through Jesus Christ, was given. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 also says this clearly. You may not even have to turn a page. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. New Testament, outside of the book of 2 Corinthians, says it this way, that poorness was him taking the penalty of sin upon him, upon himself. We need grace. We need Jesus Christ to pay for our sins for us. We needed him to become poor for us. Even though he was rich, he is God. He is the Son of God. He is the second person of the blessed triune God. And for our sake, he did give us grace. And then he pronounces that grace upon us. That is what we have here. We'll touch on this a little bit in each point. But what is a benediction? Notice there is no may language in our passage. It doesn't say, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes we read that in the New Testament. Sometimes we read that. And what is that? It's a prayer. It's absolutely appropriate to pray that. We have examples of that prayer. That's called a petition. That's called a prayer. We also have books in the New Testament which end with a doxology. Words of praise to the Lord our God. Blessed be his name forever and ever. But we also have, clearly in a couple of places, Ephesians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians 13, Hebrews 13, depending on that one's not quite as clear, but very clearly these two, I would argue Hebrews 13 as well, We have not a doxology, words of praise to God, not a petition or prayer, words that God would do something to us, but a benediction, which is something different. A benediction is God's word to us through his servants. It's something different. There's no may language here. It's a declaration which God gives through one who is ordained, in this case, an ordained apostle, the Apostle Paul. It's not a prayer. It's a declaration. It's God's own words to us through his servant. Now you say all of God's word is God's word. Well, amen, yes, but in particular ways and in particular contexts. I mean, we could turn to an individual verse in a historical context, which are the words of the devil, right? We can turn to a particular verse, which that verse by itself is, you know, a dispute between two persons in the Old Testament or whatever it is, right? So all of God's word is God-breathed. All of God's word is God's word in that sense. Yes and amen. But there are verses which in context are telling us something different. And this is one of those passages. There are not many, which is a benediction. It is in a particular way, God's word through his ordained servant to his people gathered together. The letters were read in the public. They were meant to be read at the public gatherings. There's directions for that. We need the grace of Jesus Christ. The grace of Jesus Christ is given, and God himself declares that grace upon you as you depart from his presence. That's a benediction. That is a beautiful truth. This is not merely a prayer. It is a benediction. And we'll touch on that again. One definition for now before we move forward. The pastor Gregory Reynolds, an OPC minister, makes the distinction in this way. Quote, the movement of a benediction is from heaven to earth, whereas the movement of a doxology or a prayer is from earth to heaven. Doxology is the church's good word of praise to God. So a prayer or a doxology is God's people speaking to God, whereas a benediction is God speaking blessing to his people. End of quote. Do you hear the difference there? Do you see the language here? There is no may. It is a declaration. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. For that last phrase is tied to all three clauses. So know, indeed, who sends you out. The grace that you need, the grace that you are sent out with in a particular way. That brings us to our second point, God and the love of God. Love that is needed. Again, love that is needed. Turning back again to 2 Corinthians 5, we needed that love. We once regarded Christ according to the flesh. That's the natural man. But in Christ we are a new creation, verse 17, which we already read. And then what does verse 18 say? All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Or how does John 3:16 say it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. We need God's love. And to all who believe in him, repenting of their sins and turning away from their sins, and believing, whosoever believes, believing upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, through Christ, the love of God gives life. We need the love of God, and God gives his love to his people. And then this brings us back to a benediction, and thinking further upon what a benediction is. God, we need the love of God. We have the love of God when we are in Christ, when we are his people, and then he sends us forth in the light of that love with a declaration of that love. Now let's read, if we were to pick the three clearest benedictions in Scripture, We'd probably say Ephesians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians 13. Those are like number 2 and 3. And the clearest is Numbers chapter 6. If you would turn with me to Numbers chapter 6. Because I want to read some of the verses which surround the blessing there. The blessing, the benediction. One which we have almost every single week at the close of either the morning or evening service. And so the middle words should be very familiar to you and to each of us. Verses 24 to 26 of Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now, what are the verses that surround this? See, let's read verses 22, 23, and 27. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them," and then there's the blessing. And then he says it this way in verse 27, "So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." This is also why the arms of an ordained man are raised at the end of a service. It's following the pattern of how the priests were to give not just a prayer, not just a doxology, but a blessing, a benediction in the Old Testament. It is in a particular way the word of God, "I will bless them through his servants upon his people." So can you step back and see the movement again? I mean, prayer is a great blessing. Prayer is something we do. We have prayers. We have things like this in the language of prayer in the New Testament. "May the Lord bless you." But we also have times when, following that pattern of a declaration of an ordained servant upon the people of God, we have examples such as 2 Corinthians 13, where the apostle is not speaking in prayer language. He's speaking as an ordained servant, benediction language. We need the love of God. Through Christ, we have the love of God, and God sends us out with his word of blessing concerning that love. It's not just a doxology. It's not just a prayer. It is a benediction. It's not conditional language. It's not conditional language. It's not, "May this be so." It's, "This is so." And we know it's only effectual for the people of God. We do know that. And so some of the salutations, some of the greetings, which are in that same way, a word from heaven to earth, in a particular way that not a word from earth to heaven. Some of they're defined in that way, right? Even even our salutation, our opening blessing this evening, "To the saints and faithful brothers in Christ." It was following the pattern of Colossians chapter 1. Okay. So it's not conditional. You don't have the May language. But for God's people, so the New Testament does qualify it in that way, for God's people, this is not conditional. You are sent out with God's love. The Old Testament makes that clear in a particular way. And since we have the Old Testament, we know when we come upon these non-prayer declarations, the apostles are following that priestly pattern. That's the movement of Scripture. That's how we know this is a benediction. And again, Numbers 6, very clear. 2 Corinthians 13, very clear. Ephesians chapter 6, very clear. Let me read the final verses of Ephesians chapter 6. "Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. We need the love of God. Through Christ, through repentance and belief in Him, there is love of God. And then God sends out His people with a declaration of that love. What is then our third point? The Holy Spirit and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Fellowship needed. And this is one of those times when and there was a lot of things going on in Corinthians, right? They're like putting the apostles to a test because they're listening to false teachers, and there's all these kinds of things going on which we're reading about in just this one chapter, and there's evidence of lots of mess in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. But then how does he close now this letter to God's people? Verses 11 to 13. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And then with the benediction declaration. Not just the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not merely the love of God, but even the very fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We need this fellowship. We're imperfect saints, just as the saints in Corinth, we're imperfect saints with all kinds of messes, with all kinds of tests, right? No church is perfect because we're imperfect saints, but we are called to do these things, to greet one another with a holy kiss, and we who need fellowship have fellowship by the Holy Spirit, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body through many are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. We need fellowship in the Holy Spirit. We do have fellowship. And the triune God sends us out with a declaration of the reality of that fellowship. Say, well, the people of God are imperfect. There are problems in the church. Fellowship is not actually possible. You're disagreeing with the very benediction which God declares upon His people. God says, I know my people are imperfect, but yet I do give them my Spirit. And the very word which I want them to be sent out with is the word of that reality. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I'll read one more, not quite definition, but word concerning salutations and benedictions. This is from the directory from public worship by the OPC. So it's maybe the only Sunday I ever read from the URC Church Order and the OPC Directory of Worship in the same day. That's not something we usually do, but they have some helpful words about benedictions and salutations. Quote, the salutation and the benediction are blessings pronounced in God's name and in His own words. Accordingly, they are properly used only in a gathering of Christ's church and by a minister of the word. End of quote. And again, Numbers chapter 6 and then surrounding words throughout the Old Testament concerning how a priest and when a priest gives benediction, blessings upon the people of God is really what speaks most clearly of that. We need the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, we do have that fellowship, and the Holy Spirit sends us out with the declaration of that reality. As people of God, do we know how we are sent out? You know, it's right when I was, you know, younger, I pretty much thought the benediction was two things: a signal that the service was over, and maybe this is some kind of prayer, but the pastor's raising his arms, it's a little bit strange, I don't know what's going on. Well, it's not either of those things. It is somewhat a declaration that the service is done, but hopefully we don't merely think of it in that way, right? We think of it in the way of, these are the very words with which we are being sent out. And it's not a prayer. It's very much appropriate to have your eyes open and looking forward to receive the blessing. It's God's benediction upon His people. And so as we work to a conclusion, I'll merely stress that again. Stress that even as this is unconditional in the sense that it doesn't have prayer language, it is true that this declaration upon God's people is only for God's people. Certainly, God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, He sent His Son for us, Romans chapter 5. Certainly, those who need the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who need the love of God, those who need the fellowship of the Holy Spirit are given these things through the very blood of the Savior. But there must be repentance and belief. And then, having these things, we receive this word, which is a very particular and beautiful word. It is a benediction, a blessing upon God's people. Repent then and believe. Know of this grace, know of this love, know of this fellowship, and be sent forth in the reality and God's own declaration through His servant of these things. God sends His own Son to die for His people's sins. God chooses unworthy servants through which to speak His very own particular words to His people. How beautiful it is to know how God speaks to us and what God speaks to us and declares upon us. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, one God, so clearly revealed in three persons. Show us indeed Your grace and Your love and the fellowship which is from You, rooted in You. Make us to hear You speaking these realities and to rejoice as Your people to live and the reality of Your declared word. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. People of God, let us stand to sing together number 210, verses 1 through 3, 5, and 6. 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6 of number 210. People of God, it's time now for our evening gifts and offerings this evening for the general fund. Following that, our benediction. And following that, note this is doxology we have not sung recently, doxology 564. If you would stand, if able. Let us receive now God's parting blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Blessed be Jehovah God, the God. Now that we have had the opportunity to hear the preaching of the word and hearing God's blessing through his servant, let's sing Song of the Month. First, we will sing verses 1, 3, 7, and 9 of 89A. 89A, verses 1, 3, 7, and 9. rest of the songs we'll be singing tonight will have the theme of the Trinity. And we'll sing from 248, verses 1, 3, and 5, at 248. Song we'll sing is 402, and we'll sing verses 1, 2, and 5. 1, 2, and 5 of 402. Thank you. last song we'll sing tonight is Psalm 181. Psalm 181. And we'll sing all the verses.
Thank you for David.
You
for David. Thank you for David.
Yes.